glad to God you come to this meeting and that you have listened and come to council, direct your questions and deliberations and thank you and thank you for all your contributions. Recently, I think that the council and the volunteers and the members are occupied and the gift that we gave to the indigenous occupants and children and council pays respect to the school and the people and the elders and the council. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. You may be seated. Before we proceed through to tonight's agenda, I would like to read a statement. It is expected that all members of the gallery will have respect for the council meeting that is taking place tonight and conduct themselves in a manner that is fitting for the council to conduct business. As mayor and chairperson of this meeting, I will not tolerate members of the gallery who are disrespectful of the council and other members of the gallery during the conduct of this meeting. Should anyone act in a manner that I consider to be inappropriate or disrespectful to the council of the meeting, they'll be called to order, failing which they will be directed to leave the chamber. Should any person so directed refuse to leave the chamber, the assistance of Victorian Police will be sought and the person will be removed in accordance with the Summary Offences Act 1988. In regard to Section 7 of this agenda being public question time, I remind the gallery that silence is to be maintained whilst the questions are being read out and an answer provided. Should the submitter of a question require clarification in regard to the public question presented, I, as the chairperson, may allow such clarification. However, I will not be permitting any other member of the gallery to seek clarification in regard to a question submitted by another person. Further, should any public question be in relation to the constitutional validity of council or related, a single prepared statement will be read in answer. This is an unfortunate consequence of previous disruptions when addressing. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to now move on to item number 2, apologies and leave of action.
There's an apology from Councillor Brodenbull.
Item number 3, declaration of any pecuniary interest, other interest or conflict of interest of any councillor.
Yes, Madam Mayor, I declare a direct interest in Office Report 8.4 and have advised the Chief Executive in writing prior to the meeting outlining the type and nature of that interest.
Number 4, adoption and confirmation of minutes of previous meetings.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move the minutes of the ordinary meeting of the Council held on the 13th of December 2012 and the special meeting of the Council held on the 17th of December 2012 be confirmed as a true and correct.
Thank you, Councillor Moran. Do I have a second up for that motion?
I'll second that motion.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have any Council who opposes the motion? So therefore, declare it carried. Number 5, petitions and joint letters. And the 6th, resumption of debate or other business carried over from a previous meeting. Number 7, public question time.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Mayor. We have a number of questions from the gallery this evening. First question is from Andrula Tuvana, the gallery. Question is, how much money has Council directly received from the Federal Government through the Roads to Recovery program over the last 4 years? On which roads in particular has the money been used and how did Council determine which roads received priority from this program? Will Council be required to pay this money back to the Federal Government considering direct funding from Federal to local government or at least posing as local government is unlawful under the Constitution? First answer, first section, Council receives $692,000, I believe, in each of the last 4 years under the Roads to Recovery program. I don't have available with me this evening the exact roads to which that has been applied over that 4 year period. However, the methodology for applying that funding has been A, directed by the guidelines around the funding, and B, based upon the priority list that Council has established under its Capital Works Program, for local roads. So it is a requirement to spend it on local roads. In respect to will council be required to pay this money back, the advice that I have is that should a case be brought in the High Court challenging the federal government's ability to directly fund local government, and should that challenge be upheld, that any such decision would not be retrospective, and therefore restitution from local government authorities to the Commonwealth in respect of previous grants would not be impacted, only the grant which was specifically being challenged through the court action. So I guess the simple answer is no. Well, it's a hypothetical, the last section of the question. It's not been held to be unlawful under the Constitution at this point in time because there has been no High Court challenge. What there has been is two cases, one the Pape case and one the Williams case, which were not local government cases. They were about the government funding other entities. And there is a possibility that a High Court challenge to the ability of the federal government to directly fund local government may be successful. But it has not been found so as yet, and there is currently no High Court challenge before the High Court to test that.
Why is one not being held in Rockbank, especially considering the mayor is also a family board councillor? Because I chose not to have it in Rockbank, I cannot actually have it in every suburb, so I have chosen to hold that in Caroline Springs and also in Mainbury and other various suburbs. Is this in lieu of a public forum that the community has requested? No, it is not in lieu of a public forum that the community has requested. And that's a matter of opinion of whether the community has requested it or not. I know that a few community members have, and I have spoken to them saying that I am more than happy to meet with the group and also one-on-one, but considering the previous manner of which some of these community members have conducted themselves, particularly in this forum, I will not be intending to be holding a public forum at this time. If it is it inappropriate as a matter of her opinion, I guess? And if not, when will the mayor conduct a public forum for her ward? As I mentioned, I will be more than happy to meet with individuals. And there was a budget forum also that was held last Saturday, and I was more than happy to speak with my constituents then, and some actually chose not to. Thank you. Clarification. I guess that can be taken into consideration and we can get back to you in regards to the school.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Next question is from Tony Ramondita. Whose question is, I am the owner of One Gravilla Close Hillside, which is being heard tonight. It is one of the officers' reports. After listening to the objectors, I would like to be given a chance to put my case forward if I choose to do so. Thank you. Mr. Shannon, do you wish to respond in relation to that?
Thank you, Tony, for the question. As you rightly point out, the item you refer is on the council agenda tonight, at item 8.5, the planning permit application for the variation of a restrictive covenant. There's no formal opportunity tonight for you to have feedback in terms of the officer's report or in terms of responding to the objections. However, the officer report, which will be presented tonight to council, seeks to address those issues. As with any planning permit application, If either the applicant or objectors are unhappy with the outcome, there is also the forum available at the Appeals Tribunal following Council's final decision. Thank you.
Next question is from Ian Hollander. He's in the gallery. The question is, under Section 73B, Subsection 4, Subsection B of the Local Government Act 1989, who determines on what part of the Category 3 allowance range the Mayor and Councillors of the City of Melton are paid? Who determines that they are on the highest possible? Why is it not performance-based? Why do their constituents not have a say in regards to where on the range their pay should be according to how they represent them? If constituents cannot have an input into this, is it because the council is a corporation and does not represent the people? In responding to each of those parts, firstly, the determination is made by the council. There's a requirement that it be advertised in the public notice advertising the budget each year what the Mayor and Council's allowance will be, and it's also a requirement periodically that the council give public notice of that allowance and give notice in the annual report. Who determines that they are on the highest possible? Again, it's the councillors who make that determination. Whether it's performance-based is a matter of judgment. Why do their constituents not have a say? Well, as I said, it's one of the items that's publicly advertised in the adoption of the budget, and public notification of it's required to be given, so there's an opportunity for submissions to be made in respect to that item. Therefore, constituents can have an input, and it's done all done in accordance with the provisions of the Local Government Act and the directions of the Minister.
Can I just ask if the person is a member in the gallery? I'm giving you a warning. Please turn your video. I'm sorry, there's no talking. I've asked you to remove your camera. I will ask you once more, please remove the camera from the chamber. I will now ask the police to escort you out unless you remove your camera. No, I'm not threatening you. Constable, please remove this gentleman. Yes, please. Remove the gentleman that's videotaping.
Thank you.
these are people who want to know.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Mayor. The next question is from Mr. Jack Ovankovich, who's in the gallery. And he asks, on a number of occasions, the ratepayers of Melton have called for a public forum to discuss and address concerns confronting the Melton community. Instead, the council is conducting ratepayer-funded barbecues held on four different weekends. It frustrates me knowing that the seven elected are being paid $250,000 a year, but refuse to address concerns of its ratepayers in a public forum. There are a number of forums that provide opportunities for individual residents or groups to consult with councillors, and I refer back to the comments previously of the Mayor. There are a number of those forums. One of those was on Saturday, where councillors and officers were available from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. for consultation, and I believe that was a forum that people made their own individual choice whether they would participate or not in that forum. A number did, and I hope it was of benefit to those who did.
Just as a matter of clarification, sir, this kind of behaviour that we have just witnessed is the reason why I don't hold a public forum, because the safety of my councillors and this council is in jeopardy until this behaviour continues. Thank you, Mr. Forey.
Next question is from Mr. Antonio, who's now left the meeting. And I will... Okay, I will provide a written response to his letter. Mr. Ann Hollander in the gallery. The question is, it has come to my attention that a notice of no confidence in and withdrawal from the City of Melton, Summersideshire of Melton, has been lodged by some members of the local community in these premises around mid-January 2013. Are the councillors and mayor aware of this document and its potential significance? Answer the first part, yes, mayor and councillors are aware of that document, as are the Minister for Local Government, Local Government Victoria. It would be Council's view that it has no legal status or enforceability. That's a view. Next question is from Yanni Van Liemped, who's in the gallery. His first question is, can you elaborate why there was a television crew on the Council premises at approximately 4:30 p.m. on the 31st of January 2013? And why was it reported that you were the focus of their interview? As a concerned resident, I would like enlightening as to what the topic of discussion was, may have been. Simple response is that Channel 7 rang the office in the afternoon and sought to interview myself in respect to a report from the Federation of Community Legal Centres in relation to debt collection procedures of local government, and they interviewed me in relation to that. Whether it ever goes to air, I don't know. It hasn't as yet. And the second part of the question is, why were police in attendance at this meeting? I presume you mean this evening's meeting? Sorry? I don't know. To be honest, Mr. Bean might... Why were police in attendance at this meeting on Thursday? It wasn't a meeting, it was an interview being... Okay, so there are a number of attendees in the foyer.
Yes.
I'm aware of that, and they served me with a notice that I would be dismissed effective 31st of January. That was the gathering you referred to? Right.
I'm happy to answer that for you, Yanni. Staff advise executive that some of the people who were in the gallery at the close of council's business did not intend leaving. They were proposing a sleep-in as such, and obviously as the time the public building had closed, we felt no other better course of action other than to come and talk to the people out there that they need to be moved on. And just as a precautionary matter, we contacted the police and asked them to just come and make sure that things were peaceful. And I would like to just add to that that the group were very cooperative and peaceful in their departure.
Next question is from Manny Van Leempert. Okay. I'll provide a written response to the questions. Michael Matalewski is in the gallery. Why is it that the Melton City Council does not have snake-catching services like what other councils provide? It is my understanding that residents are instructed to contain the snake themselves, which, as far as I have heard from many members of the community, is unacceptable for them. Why doesn't council provide this service? That's a decision that council took some years ago, that it was a service that it felt that it was not its obligation to provide. Snakes are wildlife. We similarly don't catch foxes and we don't hunt down feral cats, etc. It's part of the responsibility of being a landowner. If you have bees or any wasps, etc., on private land, we don't remove those also. It's something that some councils do provide. It is by no means a universal service provision. But it's a judgment call as to whether a council believes it is a service that they should fund, as distinct from providing information to residents of where they can get the appropriate services. It's not appropriate, as some people have suggested, that councils like law staff should perform the role of snake catchers, because they're not trained as such. Next question is also from Michael Matalewski. In regard to room hire fees for community groups operating within the Melton City Council, why is it that some groups are required to pay for rooms that are operated by the Melton City Council, while there are those who do not have to pay as much as others? For example, the Cambridge, Coburn and Watts Residents Association already has used $790 of its community grants given by council to pay for council-run rooms, over half of the grant given. While I have been in talks with members of other groups who do not pay nearly as much as we do, I will need to research that, Mr. Matalewski. We do have schedules of fees. There's a fee for community groups, not-for-profit groups, and commercial users, and I'm assuming that you are being charged the right schedule, but I will check that. Also, each different room, depending on the size and what is required with the room as well, the higher rates vary. But I will check it out and get you the information. Next question is from John Southall, who's in the gallery. Mr. Southall asks, what has happened to the petition for a hospital in Melton? The petition is in the council office and will be being considered by the hospital advisory committee when it meets in the very near future. Next question is from Mr. Robert Fletcher. Fletcher in the gallery? No? I'll again provide a written response. Question from Mr. Brian Allen. Mr. Allen in the gallery? No? Question from Mr. Carl Sass. You ask, can council please clean up at the end of Lindsay Court, Melton, off Church Street in regards to rubbish removal, trim trees, mulching, etc.? I'm not familiar with that area in particular. Short answer is I'll have it investigated and get a response to you about what action we're going going to take or able to take, and if it is a count, I presume it's a reserve, is it, or? So it's a waterway? Right. Anyway, I'll check out the status of it and whether it's council or some other authority's responsibility, and we'll get back to you. Next question is from Rina Iliades. Can you go in? No? Again, I'll provide a written response. Next question is from Mario Fischer, who is in the gallery. We would like our property to the discussion I had in a meeting regarding Melton City budget input. Discussions on the 2nd of the 2nd, 2013, which was last Saturday, with Mr. Lou Shannon, Planning and Development General Manager, and Mr. Murray Heaney, Community Services General Manager, to give the most to give the highest consideration on humanity well-being for future residents of Melton, for our land to give consideration being included in Mr. Matthew Milburn and Mr. Bob Baggio's for, and Brett Luxford, Economic Development, for Mr. Luke Shannon and Mr. Murray Heaney to advise that our land should be included in the planning scheme review for a planning application. We can subdivide and sell half the land and use the money for our building of community housing on the remaining land to help people save for deposit of their own home, to create opportunities in the new community housing enterprise. We would like the Mayor and Councillors to support us. Community housing enterprise, jobs creation opportunities, economic supply, supporting evidence for our request is attached, and Mr. Tosha has attached a number of plans and articles from the press and other documents. As I know, we've discussed this on a number of occasions, Mr. Kasha, but the essence of this issue still rests with the Minister for Planning, in that at the way it currently stands, any application to the council would not be able to be granted, in that the zoning of the land doesn't cater for this use. However, as you are aware, the precinct structure plan's been currently developed for the area that includes your parcel of land, and should the minister appropriately deem the zoning of that land as per that precinct structure planning work for this use, or a zone that could accommodate this use, then we would happily pursue the options available under such zoning. That's all the questions, Madam.
Councillors, we now go on to item number 8 on the agenda, presentation of staff report.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move the items 8.1, 8.2 and 8.3 be moved in block.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have any councillor who requires clarification? Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. We move on to 8.4, delegations of authority exercised 1st of July 2012 to 31st of December 2012. Thank you, Councillor Fugliari. Peter Bean to talk on the item, present the item.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This is a fairly mechanical report that is presented to Council every 6 months to advise Council on certain delegations that are under its power. The three key sections within this delegations report, which is attached as Appendix 1, 2 and 3, highlight the planning applications that have been processed under delegations within the period from 1 July to 31 December 2012. Second appendix relates to the building applications that have been carried out under the delegations empowered to the Chief Executive and staff, whichever may be the case, from the same period of time. And the third appendix pertains to a number of specific items within the broad delegation to the CEO, which is then sub-delegated to staff, of actions that have occurred. Councillor Cugliari has declared an interest and has left the chamber. It is fairly self-explanatory, Madam Mayor, so on that basis I present the Council the report with a recommendation that the report be received for information. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Councillors, do I have a mover for the motion?
I'd like to move that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Andrew. Do I have a second?
I'd like to second that, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Garden, do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare that carries. Could I ask Councillor Cugliari to move that? Councillors, I direct your attention to item 8.5, planning application PA 2012/3704, variation to the restricted covenant prohibiting the construction of more than one dwelling on the land at one Revillia Close hillside. And I have Mr. Bob Baggio, Manager of Planning, to present the report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The application relates to a site which has an area about 6,000 square metres, which is located on the corner of Revillia Close and Gulay Road in Hillside, in an estate which is known as the Sugar Gum Estate. Essentially, the Sugar Gum Estate is a low-density residential area, which is basically characterised by lots of around 4,000 square metres in area. The subject site in this case contains an existing dwelling and a number of other associated outbuildings. The application proposes to vary the restrictive covenant that affects the land by deleting aspects of the covenant prohibiting the construction of more than one dwelling on the land. And that's presumably to, Madam Mayor, to facilitate future application for some sort of development on the land, potentially a more intensive residential development on the land. The application was advertised and 15 objections were received from beneficiaries, from landowners within the state, essentially beneficiaries of the covenant. Grounds of objection we basically summarised as concerns about the precedent that permit in this case would set for other lots within the estate, concerns that a more intensive future development of the land would detrimentally affect the character of the existing neighbourhood, and also amenity concerns relating to increasing traffic and road safety issues and also pollution and those sorts of things. Essentially, Madam Mayor, for an application to vary or remove a restrictive covenant, the relevant provision of the Planning and Environment Act of Section 60, Part 2, which in effect obligates Council to refuse an application where objections have been received from beneficiaries of the covenant, which is the case here. So therefore, Madam Mayor, it's recommended that the application be refused as per the legislation.
Thank you. Does any Council require any further clarification? Do I have a mover for this motion?
Madam Mayor, I'll move.
Thank
you. Officer's recommendation.
Do I have a seconder for this motion?
I'm happy to second.
Do Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. Moving on to agenda item 8.6, Melton Planning Scheme Amendment C135, rezoning of land at 683/797 High Street, Melton West. And Mr. Bob Baggio, Member of Planning, is present for report.
Madam Mayor, in this case, a rezoning request has been made on behalf of the owners of the land, the subject land, which is Vic Roads, and the land is now surplus to their requirements, and also the Melton Prospect Trust. The land is located on the intersection of High Street and Bormans Road, where it intersects with the Western Freeway near the overpass. The land is currently located within a farming zone, which is clearly an anomaly in the planning scheme. Therefore proposed that the land required for the future Diamond Interchange, that's the intersection of Bournemouth Road and Western Freeway, be zoned specifically for road purposes, and that the remainder of the land be rezoned for residential one consistent with the data of the surrounding land. Madam Chair, given that the amendment seeks to replace what are anomalies in the planning scheme, which could have amenity impacts on surrounding residential uses if the land is used as permitted by the current zone, it's considered appropriate that in this instance a request be made to the Minister for Planning to fast track the amendment under the relevant provisions of the planning scheme. The amendment has been assessed against the strategic assessment guidelines for planning scheme amendments, which has been prepared by the state government. So therefore it's recommended, as per the recommendation in the report, that council initiate an appropriate amendment to the planning scheme to rezone the land, and following authorisation give notice that the amendment has been requested.
Councillors, do I have any
requirements
for further clarification?
Councillor Rand, can I just actually ask a question? When the Diamond Interchange was being proposed down the road, there was this site and one further up, and now that this site has been established, there were caveats over both intersections. Will this fix what? Has this road still got a caveat over the land? The land, the intersection they seem to choose. So.
Really, Madam Mayor, what this amendment does is essentially it rezones those areas that are required for the future interchange, the roads on Category 1, specifically for a future interchange, and the surrounding area is rezoned.
So the overlay that would have been on the other intersection until they had decided which intersection they were going to choose now gets totally taken away?
Through you, Madam Mayor, I think Councillor Ramsey is referring to the Harkness Road exchange further to the west. That is completely unaffected by this proposed amendment. The zoning provisions remain as they currently are, which in turn will leave the opportunity for a Diamond Interchange to Harkness Road, which will be needed as the town continues to grow to the west.
Councillors, any further clarification questions? Do I have a mover for this motion?
I'm pleased to move us.
I'd like to second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Andy. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. Item number 8.7, Melton Planning Scheme Amendment C134, Tidy Up Amendment. Over to Mr. Bob Baggio.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. A recent review of Council's planning scheme has identified a number of very minor anomalies that the planning scheme that needs to be rectified. Those anomalies are basically listed towards the bottom, page 98, A to I, and also at the top of page 99. As I mentioned, they're very minor. They relate to changing reference municipality from shire to city, and also removing redundant zoning and overlay and other provisions which are no longer relevant. As these are minor matters, and are viewed as being corrections to anomalies in the planning scheme, they're also eligible, similar to the previous amendment, first be fast-tracked by the Minister for Planning, pursuant to Section 24 of the Act. Again, the amendment has been assessed against the specific assessment guidelines for planning scheme amendments, which have been prepared by the State Government. So therefore, Madam Mayor, it's recommended that Council initiate an appropriate amendment to the planning scheme to basically address the anomaly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Does any Councillor require any further discussion? Do I have a move?
I'd like to move that, Madam Mayor.
Item number 8.8, response to notice of motion 344, Melton Weir Development Advisory Committee. And we have Mr. Morihini, General Manager of Community Services.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillor, this was in result of a notice of motion that was tabled on the 13th December 2012, where officers were requested to establish a Melton Weir Development Advisory Committee to inform Council on potential opportunity for enhancement or access to the improvements to the Weir. Two was to develop the terms of reference, which is attached in this document, and the structure and methods of that, the nomination process. And the membership, at a minimum, to include a councillor, the Melbourne Runabout and Speedboat Club itself, Southern Rural Water, and representation from the community and staff. I'll just give a very, very brief, councillors, if I may. Obviously, just for the gallery's purposes, that Southern Rural Water is the owner of the water body for the Weir. The Weir has been a topic of many discussions in this chamber and external of this. Councillors are currently doing a piece of work with the Melbourne Runabout Speedboat Club on the Weir and potential access to the Weir. And if I just cut to the rear of the document, councillors, we've, as officers presenting tonight, a terms of reference. The terms of reference on the membership noted on page 108 does suggest that it would consist of 9 members and there would be 2 councillors on that. There would be 2 council officers, one rep from Southern Rural Water and one from the Melbourne Runabout and Speedboat Club, and up to 3 community representatives. Opportunity is, if endorsed this evening, councillors, is obviously to write to the two clubs, to Southern Rural Water and the Speedboat Club, but obviously go through a nomination process for 3 community members. So without going on any further, Madam Mayor, I can just put the recommendations on page 104, and there's 4 outlined for council consideration for endorsement and consideration this evening. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Do I have any councillors to any further clarification? Do I have a move of
I'd like to move it, Madam Mayor.
Do I have a second?
I'll second it, Madam Mayor.
Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried.
Madam
Luke, I would now ask if there are any nominations for the two councillor vacancies, if I can see Councillor Rangers.
Sorry, I was just about to advise my feet, and they could I please nominate Councillor Nola Dunn.
Thank you, Councillor Rangers. Are there any other nominations? If there are no other nominations, I declare Councillor Dunn. Councillor Dunn has received a special nomination.
Yes, please do, Madam.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I therefore appoint Councillor Dunn and Councillor Dunn to the Melton Media Advisory Committee. Councillors, I draw your attention to 8.9 VCAT fee regulatory impact statement. And it is to be presented by Mr. Bob Baggio, Manager for Planning.
Sorry, Madam Mayor, who seconded my...
Sorry, we don't need a second.
Please
that
don't.
Is not a motion, Councillor.
Sorry,
Rangers.
Thank you.
It's a nomination to a
double check. Thank you.
Mr. Baggio.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillors would be aware of recent media articles about proposed increases to VCAT fees and the possible negative effects that this may have on some residents seeking a review of the planning scheme. A regulatory impact statement relating to proposed fee increases is currently out for comment until the 15th of February this year. Potentially, the increase in fees is proposed to increase VCAT's cost recovery from the current 14% to around 45%, and BCAT expects to collect an additional $22 million over the next 3 years in proposed fee increases and charges. What this essentially means is that in terms of planning proposals for developments of less than $1 million, over the next 3 years, fees will increase from $322 to just over $1,000. And for developments of between $1 million and $5 million, the fee increases from $322 to just over $2,000. Council has the opportunity, has an opportunity to make a submission to the impact statement if it wishes. Considered that from the Melbourne community perspective, the proposed fee increases would mostly affect small developers or resident objectors as opposed to the proposal. Mm-hmm. And that while this may reduce the number of frivolous or vexatious appeals, it may also discourage residents who are genuinely concerned by the decision on the complaint. It's considered, therefore, that council could therefore voice its concerns in this respect, and that while it's acknowledged that fee increases would be appropriate, they should be based on, say, CPI levels, which would more reasonably would be more reasonably affordable for residents. Therefore, recommended, Mayor, that council write to the Department of Justice, advising of its concerns with the proposed regulatory impact statement, proposing VCAT fee increase, and in particular the possible effect that these increases may have on some City of Melbourne residents who may not be able to afford to participate in the VCAT.
Do I have any councillor who requires any further
clarification? Do I have a mover? Madam Mayor, I'd like to move the motion, and also can I add my weight to saying that although it, yes, may reduce the number of frivolous and vexatious cases, it may also disadvantage some of our residents to be heard by an independent inquiry. CPI levels should be considered.
Do I have a second to this motion?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Leo. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. Item number 9, reports of committees. Item number 10, reports from delegates appointed by council to other bodies. 10.1, presentation of written and verbal reports from councillors in their role as delegates to other bodies. Councillor Rand.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. There are only two committees which I need to report to, and the first one, both yourself and Councillor Dunn, were part of that, being the Policy Review Committee, and the minutes were attached to this agenda. Also, the Road Safe Westgate. The Victorian Government have recognised the first 6 months of the Road Safe Westgate Community Road Safety Council report as probably one of the best. In Victoria, it has four that are on exceptional levels, and we're one of the best. So I wanted to basically commend council for their diligence in that instance. It saddens me because the road toll at the end of last year was only less than the year before. It's significantly less than the 1,000 odds that we had 10 years ago. But still very close to 300. And no matter what measures are put in place, the bike stand is still. Fatal collisions for the whole of 2012. The Melton was a total of 6 serious injuries, and this could be people that never walked in, and hospitalised for long periods of time or forever, they come to the number of 7. Other injuries are 115, and impoundments of cars are 133. Even though we're comparable, if not better than our municipal partners or our municipal neighbours, that's still quite high. So I'm grateful that people here this morning have been safer over 6 weeks period on the road, but let's see if we, as a community, we can do our best to get those people back.
Thank you,
Madam
Mayor. On, I attended the Cochrane Linguistically Diverse Communities Advisory Committee in Southern Springs on the 30th of January. The main business on the day was the running and planning for the Harmony Day event, which is scheduled for the 23rd of March. Last year we had over 300 residents attend, and this year the Raymond is just as well.
Thank you.
Madam Mayor, after doing some research on sex committees that were vacant, I would like to actually put my hand up and be a councillor representative on the Domestic Animal Management Plan Committee and also the Early Years Partnership
Committee. I'd be honest with that.
Moving on to 10.2.
Yes, sorry, Madam Mayor. I'll take the opportunity to speak. I'll just say a few words that I think are really important and I feel that people should be acknowledged. How do you say thank you to someone who has saved your life or your home and everything special contained within it? How do you express your gratitude to someone who risked their lives for you and who you will most likely never see again? How do you express your pride and admiration when those people who are risking their lives for others are doing so very far from home in other communities, and yet they live in our local community? Melton firefighters are truly an amazing bunch, and there are just no words to truly express what they mean to us and what they're doing for us. So I give them a huge thank you.
Attention to item 10.2, parliamentarian and departmental letters received by the mayor. And the first one is from the Office of Fed Value, MLA Premier of Victoria, and it was for an invitation to visit the City of Melton. And I'd like to read an email that I received from Jane Davies, Assistant Diary Manager, the Office of Pet Value, MLA. Dear Councillor Magley, the Premier has asked me to thank you for your kind invitation to visit the City of Melton and meet with Council to gain an overview of the growth and wide-ranging initiatives operating in your city. Long-standing commitments will prevent the Premier from visiting in the short term, and he offers his most sincere regrets. However, we will pass your invitation to the Minister for Local Government, the Honourable Jeanette Powell, and the Minister for Planning, the Honourable Matthew Vyde, for their information and consideration. Kind regards, Jane Davies, Assistant Fire Manager. Correspondence from State Member of Peelaw, Natalie Hutchins, MP. And it states, Dear Councillor Cathy Madeley, thank you for your letter on the 4th of December regarding the need for the duplication of Melton Highway. I strongly agree with the position of the Council and believe that the duplication of Melton Highway should be funded as a matter of urgency. I raised the issue in Parliament twice in 2012, and after receiving your correspondence, I have also sent a letter to Terry Mulder, the Minister for Public Transport and Roads, advocating for the duplication and asking for funding as a matter of priority. I have enclosed a copy of my letter for your record and will be in touch when I receive a response regarding this matter. Yours sincerely, Natalie Hutchins, MP, State Member for Peelaw. And the State Member for Peelaw, Natalie Hutchins, her letter to Mr. Mulder was as follows. I write to urge you to fund the duplication of Melton Highway as a matter of priority. This upgrade is urgently required to accommodate increasing traffic volumes and to address safety hazards along the road, including accident zones and black spots. This duplication has significant community support, including from Melton City Council, who name it as their road safety priority, Melton Police, RACV and the wider community, who have long been campaigning on this issue. There have been 13 deaths and 260 injuries on the Melton Shire section of the highway since 1987. There has also been a 58% increase in serious collisions in the Melton area compared to the same period last year. The highway has been identified as high risk. The duplication is urgently needed to prevent future accidents and deaths and to increase the livability of this area. Yours sincerely, Natalie Hutchins, MP, State Member for Fear Law. And we thank the Member for Fear Law, Natalie Hutchins, for her advocacy in regards to the Melton Highway. We have also received a letter from the Honourable Terry Mulder, MP, Minister for Roads, Melton Highway. And he says, Dear Councillor Madeley, thank you for your letter dated 4th December 2012 regarding the duplication of the Melton Highway. Thank you for your invitation to meet. Unfortunately, my schedule does not allow me to meet with you at this time. However, Vic Rhodes advises me that Ms. Patricia Liu, Vic Rhodes Regional Director, Metropolitan Northwest, has agreed to meet with council representatives to discuss the matters raised in your letter. I am pleased to advise that the Melton Highway has received $5.5 million for road safety improvements between Melton and Taylor's Lake. The safety improvements, which have been funded under the Safer Roads Infrastructure Program, will involve the removal of roadside hazards and reduce the risk of runoff for road crushes. Vic Rhodes expects to complete these works by late 2013. The Victorian Coalition Government is delivering on its commitment to develop a new metropolitan planning strategy to identify and accommodate population growth and demographic change, transport and infrastructure needs, employment locations, social and community needs, and the tools required to manage growth. We have launched a dedicated website, online forums and fact sheets around 10 key themes including people, housing, transport, environment, economy, communities, freight, infrastructure, regional areas and peri-urban areas. There is also a discussion paper to prompt debate around the challenges and ideas for Melbourne's future. Feedback is invited via the website at www.planmelbourne.vic.gov.au. Further improvements to the road network in Melton, include the duplication of the Melton Highway, will be considered in the context of the outcomes of the Metropolitan Planning Strategy. Should we require any further information, Patricia Liu would be pleased to assist your sincerely, Honourable Terry Mulder, MP, Minister for Roads.
Sorry, Madam.
Councillor Randall,
can I seek some clarification? Actually, can I partly statement, partly 13 deaths, 260 injuries, $5.5 million. Every candidate that ran at the election, 72 basically thought the Melton Highway is one of the most sought after, most dangerous roads that is in our municipality. It needs urgent funding, and rather than getting online and having a discussion paper about Melbourne's future, the message needs to keep going back there. So I urge the Melton Highway Action Committee and Council to stay on this bandwagon, because $5.5 million is a band-aid approach to a major need. And that letter is just paid for.
I agree. The last letter is from Stephen Gregory, Department of Planning and Community Development, Ferris Road Off-Ramp Signalisation. And it states, Dear Councillor Madeley, Growth Areas Infrastructure Contribution, Ferris Road Off-Ramp Signalisation. Thank you for your recent letter to the Minister for Planning on this matter. The Minister has asked me to reply on his behalf. The Minister has committed up to $1.5 million from the Building New Communities Fund the Ferris Road off-ramp signalisation. The Ferris Road off-ramp signalisation will be delivered by Vic Rhodes under agreement with the Growth Areas Authority during 2013-2014, with design work commencing in early 2013. A working group consisting of staff from council, Vic Rose and the Growth Areas Authority will be established to support the project. I appreciate your interest in delivery timing and look forward to a successful project that meets the reasonable expectations of Council and the community. For further information on this project, please contact Mark Knudsen on the Growth Areas Authority on the phone number. Yours sincerely, Stephen Gregory, Director, Urban Development and Business Services.
Madam Mayor, again, this is strictly clarification, so I'll stick to meeting procedure. When it comes to Ferris Road off-ramp signalisation and the date, is it just traffic lights?
Through Madam Mayor, as we understand, yes, it is simply traffic lights at that intersection. However, the details of what specifically is proposed are not going to be provided yet.
Well, then my question would be, how long does it take to design all traffic lights in an intersection that is well overdue, and why does it take nearly 18 months for today at the ultimate to actually get it established? Again, this is just, it's great and we're happy for it, but that's something that's urgent. We don't want it there to happen whilst we're waiting. Sorry, Madam Mayor.
Madam Mayor, I've just realised an oversight in the agenda. We require a motion from the Council that the parliamentarian and DPUB had the letters received by the Mayor be received and noted.
Sorry, now that it's finished, I'll get up and remove the record of Assembly of Councillors attached to the agenda dated the 29th of 2013 be received and noted, and also the parliamentary letters and ministerial responses be accepted.
Moving on to item number 11, notice of motion 11.1, notice of motion 353, Councillor.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move that Council investigate and implement either webcasting or podcasting of the Council meeting.
Do I have any councillors who require any clarification?
Can I just ask, is this going to be for a trial period or is it going ahead and doing
it? Motion ceased to implement.
Councillors, any further clarification? Do I have a second?
I'd like to second that, Madam Mayor.
Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. Notice of motion, sorry. Item number 11.2, notice of motion 354, Councillor Gardner.
Yes, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move a motion, and I have to actually adjust it slightly. This is not five senior officers there, four, so I have actually reworded it slightly. That the contract terms, entitlements, and positions of the members of Council Executive Management Team be published in the annual report.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
And do I have any councillor who requires further clarification? I have a move of Councillor Dunn, seconded by Councillor Dunn. Is there any councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. Item 11.3, notice of motion 355, Councillor Dunn, Councillor Reid, Councillor Dunn.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move a motion that a report be presented to the Council, detailing Council's ability to adopt its procedure, maintaining an online register of all these Council properties available for public viewing as an initiative to increase the level of transparency in Council business, with such reports to indicate the details that would appear in such a register and to outline any privacy issues that may need to be pointed out.
Do I have any further clarification?
Yes,
I totally agree with the report. I would just like to see social housing and the privacy respects and that excluded from this report and any further online registers that may be. So I have that sort of recorded at this point. And
Thank you.
Councillors? Do I have any comments? I just thought I'd be happy to discuss.
Councillors, I need a second for this motion.
I'll move that. I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Do I have any councillors who oppose this motion? Are there Item number 12, councillors' questions without notice. Councillors, are there any questions? Item number 13, motions without notice. Item number 14, urgent business. Item number 15, confidential business. Councillor Turner.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move that pursuant to Section 89, Section 2 of Local Government Act 1989, that the meeting be closed to the public to consider the following reports are considered confidential for reasons indicated.
Councillors, do I have a second for this motion?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Do I have any councillors who oppose this motion? I therefore declare it carried. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for your attention and for your patience. Thank you for attending, and please help yourself to coffee and tea. And I hope to see you.
Thank you.